22 minutes now before 11 o'clock. It's always fun for me to have a studio full of energetic people who, there they are, as energetic as can be. Let me first bring you in on the picture here so you know who's here. And I'll let you each, well, we'll sort of introduce each other. Angela Scardina is here with Carnegie Museum of Natural History. Tell me a bit about what you do there and your role here.
Sure. So I'm the youth programs manager at Carnegie Museum of Natural History. I run programs for teenagers, high school students, ages 14 to 18. We have they're volunteer programs. We have a teen docent program where kids take out hands-on activities, touchable objects that basically illustrate the museum's collections and the museum's scientific research. They staff carts and activities around the museum floor. And here with me today, I have some students that represent our teen reporters program, specifically a project called EnergyNet.
Interesting. And I didn't realize it was a reporters program.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to know more about this, even more excited. Mm-hmm. Let's just get to know each of you a little bit, and we'll start with you, Brent. Can you introduce yourself?
Okay. So I do both programs. I do the Teen Docents and EnergyNet for them. So I kind of just float around and do whatever.
And where are you in school now?
I'm a sophomore.
Going
so 10th grade, and I used to go to North Allegheny, but now I go to a cyber school called PA Virtual Charter School.
Pennsylvania Virtual Charter School, and I know a lot of, we have a lot of charter school, well, all schools really here. Have you thought about what you might want to do after graduating? You still got a couple years ahead yet.
Some sort of law enforcement work.
Interesting. What gravitated you into that area or made you gravitate?
I don't know. I respect police. I respect military. It's all been kind of a line.
Yeah.
I have police family members.
That's great. I notice you have a Virginia Tech shirt on. Do you have any family
yes,
there?
Yes. I have a brother who goes to Virginia Tech.
It's a great school. We'll talk with you a little bit more as we just sort of get to know everybody first. Next up is Ian. And Ian, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Ian Benjamin. I work also for both programs at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. I do Teen Docents and EnergyNet. It's very fun. As for school,
No, go ahead. As for school.
As for school, well, as of this year, I am now homeschooled. But before, I would go to Taletra Academy. It's a private school down in Highland Park.
I see. Yes. And do you live out in that neck of the woods, or where are you from?
I am from Penn Hills, right in Rodeo Road, next to Penn Hills Plaza.
I know right where it's near where I grew up. I grew up in Churchill, but I know Rodeo, probably right near Rodeo in Frankstown there. Let's turn to Natalia next, and you know the drill by now.
Yeah. Well, I'm both part of EnergyNet and Teen Docents as well. I go to K-12 Agora Cyber School. I was homeschooled my whole life, but just this fall I applied for the cyber school.
And what grade are you
going
into?
I'll be going to 10th grade.
10th. And I should have asked each of you, let me turn back to Ian, have you thought about life after high school?
Well, ever since I was very young, I can remember, I wanted to be a paleontologist and go ahead and work for my favorite museum at Carnegie.
And that's still with you?
That's still with me.
Gosh, this has to be an amazing program. How about you, Natalia?
Probably something with like performing or visual arts.
Nice, nice. And let's turn to, and where are you from?
I'm from Edgewood.
From Edgewood. And I should have asked that of you before, Brent. Where are you from?
I'm from Sewickley.
Okay. And then finally, you see, I need you guys, now that you've gone through this reporting, you could probably be doing this better than me. let me turn to Isaiah. Tell me more about yourself and also where you're from and where you're going to school.
Okay. As with the rest of my coworkers, I am a teen docent and I work for EnergyNet as well.
All double team people.
For school, I am attending Central Catholic High School down in Oakland, and this year I'm a junior. I'm from East Pittsburgh, and life after high school, I would like to pursue a career in civil engineering.
Excellent. How come civil? I'm curious.
Because, like, for bachelor's, that's what I want to get is my bachelor's. But then for master's, I want to be architectural engineer because ever since I was little, I liked building things. And in history class, when we studied Roman architecture.
I didn't even know what civil engineering was when I was in high school. And it's a great – I have a number of friends that are civil engineers. And to be an architect and have that knowledge behind you would be a good thing. So let's just talk first about the teen docent program, since you're all double teamers here. Can you guys describe what it is? And I'll let any of you jump in for people that have no idea what you do or what it's about.
Okay. Well, no one else. So
we'll get the rhythm down eventually, yeah. But this is Brent.
So what teen docents do, they put us at a cart. And there's a certain number of objects on the cart. So if you're at a Jurassic cart, there's probably an alligator claw. I mean, not an alligator claw, an allosaur claw. And there's all kinds of other dinosaur bones. There used to be a chimerosaur skull. Most of them are replicas because they don't trust visitors or docents with real fossils most of the time.
Which are very valuable.
Because people tend to break them every now and then.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Happened. That's probably a good practice.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we sit there, and if visitors have questions about the room or the items on the cart, we will tell them basically whatever we know about it, and usually they learn something.
So you're there to really enhance the experience of people, and that's got to be a huge experience for you because I know working here at the Children's Museum, it's a real lesson in learning about the many different kinds of people that come to a museum. Do you find you pick up skills in that area, like trying to figure out how to connect with various kinds of people? I see Natalia really nodding her head here.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little more?
Well, docents is a really good experience. I've learned how to talk with different people, and I feel like docents has really helped me be more social.
Yeah. I think it's good. You just get a more well-rounded, you know, exposure to people as you do it. Is it hard to do it first?
The first day, I was a little nervous to go out on the cart, but once I started talking to people, I was just like, oh, this is fun. No, it's not so hard anymore.
What do the rest of you think about this whole, you know, the engagement being a teen docent?
For me, I see it as a teaching experience. I'm a natural born, like, if I learn something, I want to share it with other people, and I want to teach them. So I just find it beneficial to me, so I'm actually teaching people.
Do you get to know the same people that come to the museum repeat times? Do you see some of the same folks?
Well, I have, I think, once seen the same person come by twice, but sometimes we get people from out of town, really much so. One time I met someone from all the way down in Texas, someone out of country a few times.
Wow.
We meet a lot of people.
Yeah, it makes you really appreciate having a world-class museum here. What kind of training do you get before you get to be a teen docent? You must have to learn certain things.
Well, we do have training programs before most docents join. I think the number of required trainings to attend is?
Seven.
It's eight. I was right, eight. It requires eight trainings. You must attend eight, and then after eight, you get the shirt and get the badge. Of course, I know.
So. Yeah.
And of course, they cover various topics during the different eight trainings.
Of course.
So.
What kind of things? I'm sure there are topics related to the field itself, but do they cover other things like, I guess, rules or how to connect with people and stuff? I'm kind of curious. Well, what are some of the topics?
Most just definitely.
Overall.
Well, they have their one on dinosaurs, their one on mammals, but they also have the ones that are more so for engaging with the visitors. This year especially, when we went through the new docent training program, we had a lot of about how to communicate with the visitors and keep them engaged.
Yeah, which is a goal of all, always has been a goal of museums, but I think increasingly so. It's becoming one. So this other program, Team Energy Net, I know you've got several exhibits that are part of this, but tell me about Team Energy Net. Now, the docent program is something I think it's been around for a long time. It's established, and, you know, teens are going to help be your entrance point to the museum.
Right.
But Team Energy Net, is this the first year?
Well, Energy Net is in its going into its second year. So we actually started in September of last year, 2012, and we started with college interns. So we brought them on in September. We worked with them for a full semester to really get them experienced and knowledgeable about what the goals are for the program. And in essence, EnergyNet, the goals are to establish a foundation for learning about science careers, particularly in the energy industry, for teenagers and for college interns. So in the winter, so basically in January, we brought teens into the program. So these guys have all been in the program since January or March, and we're going into the end of our summer, our second exhibit, actually. And I'll let them talk a little bit about what that exhibit is. And that's what our open house is about today. And that's from 1 to 3:30.
And this is the exhibit, Water Energy Nexus?
Yes.
Interesting. And today, an open house, you can meet the teens behind it. It's on the first floor near the rear of the museum from 1 until 3:30 today.
Yeah.
By the way, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Carnegie Museum of Natural History is our spotlight right now, and you just heard the voice of Angela Scardina, who manages youth programs there. Tell us about this exhibit now. It looks like, Ian, you're ready to...
Well, the exhibit is basically describing the connection and relations between water and energy.
So what? How do you do that, or what are some of these connections? Ian pointed to Natalia. He's a good delegator. Take it, Natalia.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Oh, what are the connections between energy and water that you're highlighting?
Well, we're showing that water needs energy and energy needs water. You can't have one without the other. They
that makes sense. And so you need a balance if you're going to be able to create these things. Are there some aspects of the exhibit you can describe that might whet people's appetite to actually go out to the museum and take a look at it? What will people see?
On our wall that we have in our exhibit, we actually have some maps and a diagram of a coal-fired power plant. And in that case, a coal-fired power plant uses water to power its turbines they boil the water, get the steam powered turbines, and they also use water to cool down their furnaces once they're done for the day.
Yeah, it's all a big balance when you think about it, right? Because I know that electric cars, I guess, if we're going to rely on batteries, a great thing. But if we're going to charge them with power from the plant you All just right. described, they're still going to have an impact with coal and also with water resources. So it sounds like you're exploring some of those interfaces.
Yeah, and they explored very hands-on. So they went out and throughout the summer had a lot of direct experiences visiting different sites around Pittsburgh to understand what those water and energy net connections, water and energy connections are.
Neat. Where did you guys go?
We went to Powder Mill Nature Reserve once.
And that's the museum's nature reserve in Rector, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. And did you get to see any energy plants or anything to see what they're doing?
Well, actually, at the nature reserve, they're working on an acid mine remediation, which is, do you guys want to talk more about acid mine remediation and what that is? So it's basically when an old coal mine has been abandoned and the chemicals that come out of the coal mine get into the ground. So scientists are working to remediate that to balance out the soils and the water. So we got to visit that. And what else?
I think what else we also visited was the nature reserve, the building there. They had a very cool thing going on called the marsh machine. It was a way of like simulating basically a wetland and how it could naturally clean water.
Oh, I've seen those. I did not know there was one there at Powder Mill. Mm-hmm. So it sort of simulates how bioaccumulation can be used so wetlands become natural filters for contaminants.
Yeah.
Very cool to be able to do that. What surprised you most about doing this? When you began this exhibit, you probably had some sense of energy and you know, where power comes from. But are there some things that kind of really grabbed you as a result of going through this?
Well, it seems like a lot of the kids talk about the trips that we took to the coal plant.
So you went to a coal prep plant, or what kind of facility was it?
It was actually a coal-fired power plant where they produce the electricity, NRG, mm-hmm. in Springdale, Pennsylvania.
Well, I've driven by there. Now, that is a pretty rare opportunity. People don't get to tour those plants. So you're actually seeing basically how the electricity coming out of your wall gets made. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty amazing, honestly. Yeah. Like, I knew how electricity was made, but just seeing it personally with my own eyes was just a nice experience.
Yeah. What was it like? What did the plant sound like or smell like? What was it, something like you've never seen before, or how would you describe it?
Well, I would describe it what it sound like. Mostly noisy, probably, but some parts of it were pretty quiet. What it smelled like, though, I really don't remember. It didn't have a peculiar smell. It was actually very nice. They kept it well cleaned.
Yeah, it's but that sound, I was curious about that. My memories is that you hear this constant whir and, you know, noise, the water and the turbines.
Well, we had to wear protective gear when we went into the coal plant. Do you remember what we had to wear, guys?
Helmets, mm-hmm. and earplugs and gloves and goggles.
No respiratory protection, though.
No.
Surprisingly not.
Yeah. Well, that means they're probably they're either keeping you in areas where you don't need it, mm-hmm. or they've concluded that you're not going to be exposed too much, so that it's going to be okay.
We also visited a couple of other places aside from the coal plant, like the PWSA and Elkasan. You guys want to talk about that?
Well, I remember Alcosan. Alcosan was a very amazing trip, actually, I remember. The sewage treatment plant for, what's it?
Just about all of Allegheny County goes to Alcosan.
I remember one of the employees was just so excited to go there. It was a very interesting experience. We got to see through all the stages of how they clean the water, what it looks like. And say some parts it looked very, very nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty
But
good.
We learned how microorganisms can also play a part in cleaning water. I remember that. They called them bugs. And what they would do, they would, I don't want to get too complicated, but they would basically help clean out the water.
Yeah, that's an area I always like to. Did you go there on a nice hot summer day?
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Too hot.
those plants are better to tour in the winter than in the summer. And then there was one other you mentioned in addition to that plant?
Yeah, we toured PWSA. Anyone want to take that one?
I wasn't there.
Okay, that's Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority?
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority.
Okay, so you got to see...
So actually how the water gets treated and distributed out around the
county. That had to be pretty cool, too. You guys got an amazing experience. You know, Pittsburgh's drinking water is rated internationally is, you know, pretty good water all in all. It's done well despite everybody carrying bottles of water. How do you guys feel about bottled water and the environment?
Bottled water is a very, I believe, touchy subject.
Yeah. That's why I asked. Yeah.
It's basically a very strange concept, I guess, of really everything. We have water all around us, why bottle it? Well, we need clean water. But the bottled water, also people sometimes really don't care. They'll throw it on the ground, and dust can get into our water, pollute it. The plastic is really not good for the animals, neither for us. It's really just all horrible.
Do you guys agree, or do you think, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I mean, it's not really much. It's a problem if people don't recycle it, like if they just throw it out the window of their car while they're driving by. But, I mean, you can just throw it in a recycling bin, and it's fine. So. Yeah.
I mean, there's all the energy to make the bottles and things. It's interesting, though. It's like someday our society will come up with a way to centrally treat drinking water and have it come directly to your house through pipes that are, you know, you can just, we did that.
We went and saw that.
But,
we saw how much energy that actually takes. And
yeah.
Without the coal plant, we can't have a water treatment and distribution system.
Yes, you got to see the whole cycle. This is good. Where energy comes from, in some cases, you know, from coal, other sources too. And then drinking water and sewage treatment. What about renewable energy? Do any of you have any strong feelings about any form of renewable energy? Still a little bit ahead of our time, I think, to become practical.
One, if we were to use any, I think one should be solar. And the sun's always going to be there. It always has been. So.
Well, it's becoming much more efficient, too. Yeah. People are finding out good ways to harness solar energy.
One I really like, I believe, is wind energy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the issue with wind energy. Apparently, the mills that they spin, or what are they called, the windmills, that they spin to create it, it can pose a problem for birds, apparently. They'll fly into it and get injured, maybe get killed. And maybe sometimes I hear it can alter the winds in the area, maybe disrupt migration patterns of various kinds of animals.
Yeah.
Problematic, apparently.
Yeah, it's all one big system that you really need to look at. You know, any solution is going to be surrounded by other things. I can't believe how quickly this has gone. Angela, you got to be really proud of these kids. Are they leaving, or do they still get to spend some time with you this fall?
Well, I think they're going to stay around. I hope they stay around. You know, they really inspire me with all of the ambitions that they bring in and a lot of initiative. I find that every time we have a project going on and we might get a little nervous at the museum that we don't have enough hands or we're kind of behind with something, people show up. These guys show up and help out and really put their all in it and really, you know, step up to the challenge.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Now, today, 1 to 3:30, you can go to the open house at Carnegie Museum of Natural History. I'm guessing, is that free of admission? Is that on the level that's ticket free?
It's actually general admission.
Okay. But it's a great day to go see the museum on a day like today, and you can see this at the same time. And if you haven't been to Carnegie Museum of Natural History lately, it's good to go. Are you all going to be there?
It's always changing.
Yes. All four of you? Excellent. Yes. Anybody want to say something that maybe they didn't get a chance to say?
I don't know. It's just been the EnergyNet has just been a really great journey, I guess, for all of us, because I think we've all kind of grown to like each other more, and we had some fun times. Like when we went to Powder Mill, the next day we went rafting, and that was a pretty great experience.
I'll bet.
Whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I haven't gotten the courage to do yet, but I noticed none of you have glasses. That's my big fear is...
No, I have glasses. I just didn't wear them.
Anybody else?
I have reading glasses.
Oh, no, I meant having something to say. But glasses is good, too.
Anyone else had glasses.
No, that's fine. I was No, Natalia, I wasn't very clear. Anybody else have anything to add?
Just to agree with Brent, it's been a really fun experience, and I'm just looking forward to continuing with it.
Well, congratulations to all of you.
Oh,
you're making Angela cry. And all of you, Natalia, Isaiah, Ian, Brent, I'm proud of you. Keep it up. Keep in touch with us. And Angela, any last words for you?
Thank you.
Well, EnergyNet is a program that's part of our overall teen reporters program, and we also have a biodiversity project going on. And these projects, the EnergyNet team and the biodiversity team, will be starting up again in October. And we're recruiting new students, so anybody who out there who's listening and you're interested in getting involved, come on by the museum or give the museum a call and check us out.
Excellent. And what's the best way to reach you?
Well, I can be reached at 412-578-2456, and I'm happy to talk to anybody and take, you know, any questions and give information. And there's also our website, carnegiemnh.org. That's Carnegie Museum of Natural History. And you can look for the volunteer link on the website, and you'll find some information about teen programs there.
Excellent. Thank you for being here, and keep in touch with us. Those are folks all representing Carnegie Museum of Natural History's Teen Docent and Team Energy Net program. It's 4 minutes after 11 o'clock. Live music in just a few moments. You're listening to